We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Fourth and final quarter here of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. As promised, Greg Pickle is here answering your questions. This is Ask Greg. It's brought to you by the new 409 Tailgate Club. Tailgate Wine. That's right. 409 Tailgate Club is introducing wine. You can go to tailgatewine.com, get all their award-winning wines. They include Sapphire Blue, which is a blueberry wine, the Old Main Pinot Grigio, and the 1855 Vidal. So go to tailgatewine.com. They even have a blue and white wine gift box for that blue and white fan in your life. Tailgatewine.com. We say that right now because the winner, the best question, as picked by Greg Pickle, which that right there, it's a gift for Greg to anoint you. That's a gift in its own right. But the winning question will get a bottle of wine from 409 Tailgate Club. So just tune in, and we're going to go through the questions momentarily. We encourage you, as always, to go to the Keystone Sports app, fire off your questions there to be eligible in a future edition of Ask Greg. So we've got our questions for this week, Greg. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Keep good mental notes here. Okay. Brian from Austin, Texas, he's going to try to hammer us for shipping on the bottle of wine, says Greg the Great, going to hammer us there too. Mm-hmm. If you were given 15 stars, star ratings, to build the quarterback, running back, tight end, and wide receiver positions for an offense, how would you distribute the star rankings to build your team?
Wow.
I guess let's just say average star rating per those positions. That's a lot of stars to go around. That's almost four stars per,
right,
per position.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd spend, you know, without, I mean, it would get a little, but I think I'd spend the most probably at quarterback. Give me the positions again.
Quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'd like to spend most of them at offensive line, but I guess that's not part of the question. So I'll spend them most. I mean, give me a five-star quarterback. Give me a five-star running back. So that's 10 of them. And then I'll take, you know, I'm probably getting a little bit over ambitious here.
You over budgeted.
I did, but you know what? You know what? If I can, you know, but I guess it depends what I had in the last recruiting cycle, maybe. I don't need a tight end. So, no, but give me a five-star tight end, a four-star running back, three-star tight end.
Five-star quarterback.
Quarterback, yeah. Uh-huh. So we're
and
up
a two-star wide receiver.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
We'll do that.
All right.
Yeah.
Greg Garrity, we're coming for you, buddy.
It's a good question. I think, though, that generally speaking, when you look at how Penn State has broken down, I mean, broken down over the years now. I mean, at running back, you can almost they are two for two now when you're talking about either guys that will be a five-star, which I think Devin Ford will be, or a guy that is a five-star in Ricky Slade. So you can bank on that. You know, has Penn State been really in the thick of it for a five-star quarterback as of late? Probably not. I mean, have they been, you know, had some of them on campus and things of that nature? Yeah, certainly. So, you know, you're probably looking at a four there, a five-star running back, and then you got to figure it out at the other two spots. But yeah, it's an interesting idea. I think that Penn State, though, clearly with Trace McSorley and what they seem to have with Tommy Stevens, has been able to get three-star guys and bring them in and develop them at the quarterback spot. So maybe you don't need that guy there. However, I think it would be interesting to see what Penn State could do with a five-star caliber guy in its offense.
I could go either way on that one. Based on recent history at Penn State, you could definitely go a three-star at quarterback and then four stars running back, tight end, and wide receiver.
Right.
Obviously, you want I would rather have four really good players at those four positions instead of getting a two-star wide receiver, or a walk-on. Maybe that's another thing. Maybe you could just get 3 5-stars,
sure,
and have a walk-on.
Perfect.
That's a good question. Gets the wheels turning anyway.
Yes.
Dominic from Cranberry Township wants to know, do we have a legitimate shot at landing either David Bell or John Dunmore? Also, it seems like Penn State is making the top four or five for a lot of top-level recruits. Is this a recent development, or have we seen this before?
I would say yes with Dunmore. I think that Jawan Sider is a guy that will have Penn State in that one until the end. It really just becomes a matter of whether that relationship and what he learned on his trip to Penn State can overcome the fact that he has a lot of offers to the South and a lot of opportunities to play closer to home than what Penn State would be. So I think it really comes down to that. And then the other guy
It was David Bell.
David Bell. Yep. Yeah, it's an interesting question. I thought that he's kind of a guy that's been on the radar for a long time, but he hasn't really done a whole lot. Not quite in the same boat as John Metchie, who just comes off an Alabama visit, and he was at Penn State recently. So he's been on the move a little bit, but Bell hasn't really done a whole lot with his recruitment. Do I think Penn State has a shot there? I do. However, he's one of those guys that you have to get back to campus to continue to have a shot. You know, if he keeps putting you in his top this and then top that, and if he keeps lowering his list but never comes visit, he's not going to commit. So Penn State has to get him on campus, but I do think they have a good shot there. The four-star is the number 18 receiver in the 247 Sports composite. And, I mean, I think that Ohio State is certainly a player in this one as well. He had an all-Big Ten top five recently, so I think that that's something to keep an eye on. And then finally, to get the answer, sort of segue and answer the top three, top four, top five question, I think that one, you're a power program and you are a national title contender and a college football playoff contender, Big Ten title contender. You're going to get a lot of the kids, and especially out of region ones, to keep you in their top group. Does that mean you're any more likely to land them? No, typically not. I mean, you might be in a top five, but that kid probably in most cases has a top two or three that has a pretty insurmountable lead.
I bet you there's a lot of times where James Franklin hears that Penn State's in the top five and is like, what?
Yeah, why?
How?
Yeah,
why?
For what?
Wait, who is this kid again?
Yeah.
I think that's where you're starting to, if you're becoming a national brand, a more national brand. And then Penn State's been recognizable
right. On
that front forever, but becoming a true national power, so to speak, you're going to start getting this kind of inclusion. I guess it's any publicity is good publicity as far as that goes.
No question.
By the way, I'm just sort of applying this philosophy as we go. We have a couple of people who have filed multiple questions for this week. We're going to ask one out of those. We'll keep the other ones in reserve for future editions, but one question per person. John from Defiance, Ohio. I love the town name, by the way. Says, Greg, knowing that you really follow recruiting, who and when are we likely to see another breakout player like Saquon? I don't mean just offense, just a player that is so fantastic at his craft that he wows everyone. McSorley doesn't count. Why? Why does it McSorley count? I mean, he's already here, so I guess that's it. Might it be this coming season or when? What do your magic tea leaves say?
Well, you know, we got an interesting question the other day that was, would Penn State have actively recruited Saquon Barkley if it was now? Because keep in mind, he was committed to Rutgers, and I think people knew he was pretty good. No one knew that he was as good as he turned out to be. And now Penn State's pulling number one and number two players in the country. Saquon was not that, and Andre Robinson wasn't either. So it's an interesting thought to even ponder. If Penn State had the good fortune it has now, would he even been a guy that they went after? Or does he maybe stay at Rutgers? It's fascinating to think about. But as it relates to this, you know, this question, I mean, it's weird because guys are hyped up so differently now, and we know so much, even though it's only been, 3 years, 4 years if you count when he committed. I mean, everything is so different with the access, with the tape that's out there. I mean, you know so much more about guys now than even you knew 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, to me, Dustin, if we're looking only at the 2018 class, a guy that could come in and blow everyone away, I don't think Justin Shorter can be a part of that conversation because it's almost expected at this point.
Yeah.
Is PJ Mustipher fair to throw in there? I mean, I think that he's a guy that
From a national rankings perspective, he's roughly in the same area as Saquon was back in the day.
So I think he's probably a guy that could fit in that boat. I don't want to put too much pressure on Ricky Slade and or Devin DeFord in the next class, but certainly they look to have the tools to be in that same conversation. But Saquon was such an interesting and different reality than what we're talking about here, because again, we went into that season, his freshman season, and everyone thought Andre Robinson might get the first crack at, you know, being the next guy to maybe replace Akeel Lynch, and then, you know, Saquon jumped over some guys and it's been history from there. So I think I'd probably go with those two guys if I had to make a pick, but yeah, it's certainly one of the things that you don't see happen very often, and I don't think you can expect to see it every few years.
Yeah, so I think Saquon was around number 125 nationally, number 13 running back, something like that.
You got it.
PJ Mustipher is at number 78, number 5 defensive tackle. Penn State's getting so many guys who are so highly acclaimed. It's hard to really, you know, Saquon came out of nowhere, so to speak, because he went to levels that you can't forecast any players going to that level. You know what I mean? It's not like he didn't have talent or was completely unrecognized. You just didn't know this was coming. I just use this as an opportunity. I love Devin Ford. I think Devin Ford is going to be a star. If he's a 5-star, it's, again, not really the same conversation, but I think Devin Ford is going to be a great, great player. This is a Ask Greg here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, by the way, brought to you by 409 Tailgate Club. Tailgate wine. We're giving away a bottle to the best question as picked by Greg Pickle over here. Let's see. Joseph from Scranton, do you think the new redshirt rule is more advantageous to the upper echelon team since most of those teams have a high percentage of players that leave after 3 years? Fair.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm curious about the practical execution of this rule and how coaches are going to use it in the first place. Whether you're going to get a chance to audition freshmen for jobs early,
right,
or whether there's guys that you're just going to save late. What's the last quarter of the season going to look like, including the bowl game?
Oh,
a lot of people have been saying, you know, you wish that you could play in the bowl game and still keep your red shirt.
Right.
And that's fair. I think you'll see that. Anyway, but I want to see how many guys that you're going to throw out there. Like, if they had a chance for Miles Sanders, for example,
right,
to play him for three or four games and be like,
I don't
you know
think
what?
They would. Right.
I think they would have preserved the red shirt.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with you there. Once he sort of, you know, yeah, that whole his whole freshman season was interesting, and I 100% agree with you that would have happened. I mean, the immediate thing that came to mind is that, well, Pat Freiermuth and Zach Kuntz are going to get a chance to outrank the veteran tight ends. Now, granted, they could do it in camp, and it wouldn't even matter if there's a new rule, but to me, those were the first two I thought of. Was okay, you're going to get to audition them for the first two or three games, and look, after the first or second game, or even after camp, they might think to themselves, the coaches think, nah, I'm no way, this is not going to work. There's no chance these guys are ready to play. Or it could be the opposite. They could say, yeah, we're going to play them no matter what. So, I mean, I think that you'll have some of that. But think of all the times that guys were in the yellow light category, as James Franklin would say, and guys that were, well, we think they could play. We probably could help us, but we think that by redshirting them, we can be better, use them better off down the road. I think that that's really what it gets into, is that those guys will get a chance to maybe see some time, whether it's, and mop up, and you get guys out there just to, you know, preserve the lead and get some experience. Or, I mean, you can throw some guys out there in situations and, you know, use them in just kind of what you're talking about, where, you know, there's going to be some strategy involved here, and maybe you break out a Jahan Dotson trick play in the Rose Bowl, or, you know, it's just for an example, you know, maybe you break it out in the bowl game or something, or the Ohio State game, to Michigan, you know, whatever, and that's where you can see those guys come to play. So I think it's going to be really interesting, but the upper echelon ones that lose a lot each year certainly will probably do more of that than others.
All right, let's pick a question here. Brian asked about the 15 stars. That's a good question. Dominic asked about David Bell and John Dunmore.
Yep.
John from Defiance, Ohio, asked about the next Saquon. And this was Joseph asking about redshirt rules.
Joe and Scranton. I like the redshirt question.
Joe and Scranton, the redshirt rules. There we go. I think they were all good questions this week. Keep them coming for Ask Greg in the future. That's it for us on this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Get the Keystone Sports app and ask your questions there. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hi, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stop by Route 15 Beverage Express for the best selection of craft, domestic, and import beer in the area. Let our friendly and knowledgeable staff provide you with the best service in the area. And don't forget, June 23rd, we are saying thank you for 15 wonderful years of service. Stop by from noon to 4 for free food from 409 Tailgate Club, beer samples, and prizes just off Route 15 South in Dillsburg.